For someone like myself and any producer, it is just such an opportunity getting a Limud program because you see 5 million potential speakers that you can interview. And today on the line, we have Rob Katz, who is a youth advocate and is the founder of Shoshana Foundation and a boxing enthusiast. But I want to talk to him today about the Limud conference scene. And he might be a latecomer to Limud, but he's quickly become one of its most enthusiastic participants. This year, he's stepping into the spotlight with a presentation titled When Boxing Was a Jewish Sport. It's a fascinating dive into an era when Jewish boxers dominated the ring and captured the public imagination. From the gritty training gyms of New York's Lower East Side to championship bouts that made headlines worldwide, Rob's talk uncovers the stories of fighters whose courage, skill, and determination reflected not just athletic prowess, but also the immigrant struggle for dignity and respect. And today we step into the ring with Rob to find out more. Rob, thanks so much for joining us on The Home Run. You've said that you were a late joiner to Limud, but you got hooked. What drew you in and what then made you decide to present this year?
Oh, hi, Paula, and a very good late afternoon to all our listeners. I realized that I was missing out on so much richness that Limud have to offer in terms of the diversity of presentation and connection. And I actually realized that I'm just denuding myself of world-class, and I mean world-class presenters in Limud. And if I can just take you back a step, Paul, I know you're not asking this direct question, but I think it's important that I do make this point that, you know, Limud have many, many mission, values, and principles, but the three that stand out to me really are, you know, to strengthen and develop our Jewish identity, a community of learning, and to create opportunities to connect. And all of those three, strengthening and developing Jewish identity. You know, you're with 500-600 Jews on a Shabbat / Sunday, community of learning. Well, the learning is just so rich, it's unbelievable. And opportunities to connect. I've made literally friends for life in that. And, you know, if I can just take you back a year, you know, Limud asked me to present on my speciality, boxing in the Holocaust. I presented. And from that, I went to the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Austria. Asked me to be a participant on their study group a month ago. So I'm saying, you know, wow, these are not opportunities to connect at Limud. These are opportunities to connect on a worldwide stage. So for me, the richness of Limud is invaluable. And I must say, Limud have given me more than I've given Limud.
What was the original inspiration for you to focus on boxing as a Jewish sport? And you also mentioned boxing in the Holocaust.
Well, okay, so growing up, you know, I've always been interested in boxing. I started boxing when I was 12, and I've been interested in boxing all the way through. So I know well boxing history, and I also know Eastern European history. It's a very big passion of mine. I studied Holocaust literature at university as well. And then I realized that there was actually a cross-pollination of the two, that there was actually boxing in the Holocaust. And I did quite a bit of research in that, and, you know, on asked Bali Mood to put a presentation together, I did, and, you know, that's what happened, and that's how I did it. And then this year, you know, I'm talking about boxing when it was a Jewish sport. It's less about boxers and, you know, who can hook off the jab. More it's about, you know, how the Jews in the, you know, early decades of the 20th century became boxers, why they became boxers, and the domination of the sport and the reason that the Jews dominated, and then, you know, why they fell off. So they're all logical answers for all of that.
Are we talking primarily Jewish boxers in the United States or the same experience here in South Africa?
Less of an experience in South Africa because the sport is always smaller in South Africa, but it's the same experience in the UK. So you have waves of Eastern European immigrants coming through to the UK and to America, primarily London and London's East End, and America and the Lower East Side of America, of New York, and how they lived and how they developed and grew in those situations.
Was boxing a sport that attracted more Jews than, let's say, other sports? in those years?
Yes. Simply because the Jews of those days didn't have much opportunity to do anything else. If you think about it, growing up in the tenement buildings of Lower East Side in New York, you couldn't play American football, you couldn't play baseball because there was no fields in which to practice and harness your skills. So what could you do? You didn't have money to go for golf lessons, so you boxed. There's a way of getting out the ghetto.
And, I mean, jokes are always made about Jewish people that we're not the best sports people, but did we excel in boxing?
Well, the best Jewish boxer of all time is probably the best lightweight of all time, Benny Leonard, who is regarded as one of the best boxers of all time, and the best boxer, pound for pound, Sugar Ray Robinson, who's universally regarded as the best boxer of all time, developed his skill on Benny Leonard. So there you go.
And in South Africa, are there any standout names from here?
One, Morris Weinstein, but that was in the 1970s.
And
it's a hard sport, Paula, make no mistake
listen,
about it. It's a sport for poor people.
And how did Morris do?
He was rated number 7 in the world, number 7, when there were only 8 weight divisions. So, and he beat the Mexican champion. So, yeah, a legendary boxer.
While preparing your talks, did you discover any unexpected or little-known stories that have stayed with you?
Paula, not on my presentations, because I'm presenting on what I know well, but the unintended consequences positively is the, you know, the ability to interact on the world stage on my first presentation, which was when boxing in the Holocaust. So that is it's a wider learning and opportunity to connect with subject matter experts across the world.
When you say boxing in the Holocaust, can you just, like, I know it's a hectic subject, but just a minute or so, can you tell us, I mean, I'm just trying to get my head around boxing in the Holocaust.
Yes, but then, Paula, I do need 1 minute from you just to tell you a very, very heartwarming story, which
okay.
I think the listeners will quite enjoy.
We've got
completely
time for both.
Unrelated to boxing, great. So unfortunately, all of what happened in Nazi concentration camps, now these are not killing centers like Belzec and Treblinka, concentration camps, primarily Auschwitz, where Jews were interned in camps. There were a lot of Jewish champions coming through in the late 30s, early 40s, because that's when boxing was very prominent in Jewish communities, as I said, even including Western Europe, and to a limited degree, Eastern Europe. And when they used to be deported to these concentration camps, the Nazis, purely for their entertainment, there was nothing benevolent about this, chose the, if you could play the a musical instrument, you were spared, kind of thing. So the craft that these young Jews had was they were champion boxers. They were known to be champion boxers, and they had to fight for the amusement of the Nazis in Achshman v'Zichram, and that's how a lot of them actually survived. The times, a very, very sad stories. You know, people talk about, like, the likes of Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson being the saddest stories in boxing. They're not, Paula. The saddest stories of boxing are these boxers who had to literally fight for their lives, and a lot of them didn't make it out.
Wow.
And I'm trying to create an awareness of that.
Well, if you don't mind, Limud aside, I'd love to have you back on just to chat about that. But you did ask for a minute to talk about a completely unrelated topic.
So completely unrelated. So, you know, just a side consequence. You know, you get unintended consequences in life.
Yeah.
One of the positive, heartwarming, unintended consequences in Limud is that there's a very good dear friend of mine who didn't grow up very Jewish, okay, to put it mildly. And he wanted to be cremated. And I said to him, look, it's not the Jewish way to be cremated. So, you know, I try to convince him, and I think I did a good job of it. I may not have ultimately succeeded. Then at Limud 2 years ago, there was the rabbi talking about cremation in the Jewish community. I thought, like, what's there to talk about? Is it like a one sentence? You can't be cremated. So we went to listen to him. I thought it would be interesting. And he actually said, through the years, there are valid reasons why you can be cremated, i.e., if there's, in the years gone by, centuries maybe ago, where diseases were prevalent and bodies had to be burnt, cremated, so as to not spread these terminal diseases, for want of a better word. Or in Soviet countries where there was a shortage of space and everyone just got cremated, you didn't have a choice. So these are situations where Jewish law allows cremation when there's just no choice. But if you know you have a choice, well, we all know you can't be cremated. Coming out of that session, he said to me, Rob, I'm changing my will. I'm not being cremated. I'm being buried. And this is the cemetery that I want to be buried in. And in his will, he's got it now in the cemetery that he wants to be buried. So here is Limud taking a Jew who was going to be cremated, and now he's going to be buried, please God, at 120 in a Jewish cemetery. I just thought it's a nice story for our viewers to hear.
It definitely is. And if that doesn't convince anyone to come to the Limud conference, I don't know what will. But your presentation, when boxing was a Jewish sport, sounds fascinating. And I think I'm definitely going to mark a big yes next to that one. That's Rob Katz, youth advocate, founder of Shoshana Foundation and a boxing enthusiast, one of the many presenters at Limud this coming weekend. If you haven't already signed up, it's from the 15th to the 17th of August in Johannesburg, the 20th in Durban, and the 23rd and 24th in Cape Town. Rob Katz, thanks so much for joining us here on The Home Run.